Joe Cronin is re-signed with the Blazers, agreeing to a multi-year extension as the GM moving forward. You can love it or hate it. In the big picture, he has untangled a lot. He has drafted well, developed well. Now, the big move is what is going to be next.
Yep.
And that, I think, is where a lot of the questions come with this organization. And if he's the guy that can pull that big move off.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is, May 12th, that's going to be a big day.
Yeah.
For the Portland Trailblazers. Because if they don't jump into the top four, how do you make that big move moving forward?
And that's what's, well, even more interesting is May 12th has this, these massive ramp, for those who are wondering, it's a draft lottery, May 12th. So we're, what, a month and 5 days away? So basically 5 weeks from the NBA draft lottery. The Blazers are going to have to make a decision here. And so let's look at the timeline, right? I found it interesting that Joe Cronin was extended before the end of the season. As it stands right now, the last game of the season on Sunday, the plan is to have exit interviews following the game. So if you're wondering what when and how that's going to look, that's at least the plan right now. That's subject to change. But the main actors, the main players will go up there. I probably won't hear from like the two-way guys and maybe a couple of the other young guys. But other than that, and then Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups will do exit interviews. I find that a little surprising because I thought maybe they'd hold Joe out in case that they do the Chauncey Billups and the Portland Trailblazers have agreed to mutually part ways kind of a deal. And then Joe would be able to address that a couple days later. They do the extension, all those kind of things. But with this being done ahead of time, I don't think it means that Chauncey is coming back. I just, and through discussions with the people around the team, the door is at least open. They'll talk. Which, if you had asked me in December if that was a possibility, I would have said, hell no. It's on the table. But, got to remember, Neil Olshey hired Chauncey Billups, not Joe. Neil was fired 2 months after he hired Chauncey Billups, and Joe took over as the interim GM. This is going to be Joe Cronin's first coach hire. Does he go with who he knows, and who has been, I think, worthy of an extension? I look, you may disagree with me on this, but around the NBA, everybody is like, no, Chauncey's going to get another job. And if it's not here, I could very easily see him being the replacement in Phoenix for Budenholzer.
Yep.
Very easily.
Well, there's that rumor last year.
Yeah. So that would not surprise me in the least bit. But do you wait to hire your coach until you know kind of what ammo you have? So could there be this month period where, sure, they do a sit down with Chauncey, but does Chauncey want to wait around? And do other coaches want to wait around? Because the implications of May 12th are so large.
Mm-hmm.
Not just if they win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg, but if they go top four, or if they stay where they are or fall back a spot or two.
If they jump into the lottery, the job gets exponentially more attractive.
It's another asset, even if they don't draft. Even if they opt to trade that, like they package that up with one of their young guys and one of their veteran contracts. You know, I think there's a lot of different paths. The decision tree that comes out of May 12th has huge implications, not just for the roster, but also for the coaching staff. Like if you let's say pie in the sky, you get Cooper Flagg. Who doesn't want to take that job?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, it is a very attractive job. If you get number one overall, you are tied to him. You are his first coach. That's attractive to a lot of guys. In when you look at the young core of players that the Blazers currently have,
all of a sudden you see that trajectory going.
It goes up
a lot
exponentially in that,
and that opens the door. Like, look, there's only 30 of these jobs in the league, but as we've seen across sports, coaches are getting more and more particular about what jobs they take, particularly in the NBA. And I'm not saying the Blazers are going down this path. Nobody wants to be Brett Brown anymore.
Mm.
Nobody wants to come in for the process and be the guy that takes 300 losses.
And that's where May 12th means so much.
And again, I think that the Blazers are heading in the right direction. But the difference between a truly ascending team and a team building towards something is different. Not only that, whatever coach does come in, let's say they move into the top four, or they just stay where they are in the lottery. They just finished ninth, okay? The questions you are going to have as a coach, and this is for Chauncey Billups too, because he knows these guys. And if you don't think these coaches are like that talk, you're out of your mind. So Chauncey will probably, whoever interviews for that job, will probably call Chauncey and go, give me the real. You know, there's what the front office is telling me. Tell me what the guys are telling you. Okay. And they're going to want to know, okay, what's the plan for the veterans? What's the plan? Like, what trade do you have in place to make a move to keep us going? Those are the questions they're going to ask. It's not just the front office interviewing the coach and going, what scheme, what style, what are the things you're going to install? It's the coach is interviewing the front office and going, okay, what is your plan for the next 18
months? As it stands, the Blazers need to woo a coach, not the other way around. Not the coach sitting there and saying, hey, you know, I want this job. This is a great job, blah, blah. No, the Blazers are in a situation where they need to prove why it is a good job.
If you want the coach that you want. And that's the thing is like, I think both front offices and coaches are both getting smarter about, don't get me wrong, there's still coaches out there that are like, I'll take any job. Like, yeah. I'll take that bench job. But like, is that the guy that you want?
No, it isn't. And this is also a layer to bringing back Joe Cronin is that both the GM and the head coach were up.
Yes.
And you were going to be in a position where a lot of the organizations that are still playing and effective at a really high level, they're not going to have guys jumping ship midstream and saying, I'm going to bolt prior to the draft lottery and the draft process because their teams are still playing. Right.
Especially if your general manager is on a lame duck contract.
And this is where you go, I understand why the Blazers made this announcement now, why they are sticking with Joe Cronin moving forward, because they are still in the process of a rebuild.
Yep.
And they're not going to jump horse midstream. They're going to stay on the horse, get to the other side, and then that conversation can be had.
The macro results, the ownership is happy with. And I'm talking about the roster building stuff, the accumulation of assets, the way they push things forward, the way the books look, all the whole holistic macro of it. Can you disagree with the micro stuff? Yeah, absolutely.
This is where Joe Cronin really needs to start making his hay here and pulling the weight is there needs to be a big move this offseason. Yeah.
The clock isn't ticking, but you're winding the watch as
no,
it were.
That damn clock is about to expire in my mind and a lot of fans' minds because they need to make a move. You can't just sit here and tell us about the veteran contracts and team-friendly deals. It needs to happen this offseason. It has
to make
a
move. I don't think you have to make the move right now.
And you and I will disagree on that because I think they need to make a big landscape-changing move this offseason. And look, because how many more years of this? Are we just going to kick the can down the road and say, well, the time isn't now, or we couldn't find a partner to make a deal with? No, you have to find that partner and you need to make that deal. And that is what the role of the front office is to do.
I just don't think that in year three of a rebuilding process, when almost all of your roster is under 25, is when you have to make that move.
Yeah.
That move comes when the guys are 25.
But Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, Matisse Thybulle, like these guys that have all been movable part. You could throw Robert Williams in there as well. These movable part, Anthony Simons, and albeit he is young still.
Yeah, but
what are you going to hold on to him until?
No. That's where we agree.
This is where you have to make a move proactively.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Before the value gets depressed, just like
it's
Robert Williams.
It's a move, not the move. I do agree it needs to be a move of consequence. That I agree with. But it's not like you have to go get Devin Booker. Like, that's not, they aren't there yet.
This franchise has got to start showing that with everything we've seen this year, they have developed their young players.
Mm-hmm.
They have drafted well. Now it's time that you start saying, all right, winning is going to be a priority for us.
And again, going into next year, I think the goal should be the play-in.
Yeah.
That's the natural progression of this.
I am to the point where we went through the untangling of the contracts. We went through a hard reset. You've drafted. And if you're going to sit there and say that, well, that player wasn't available, that player could have been wholly more attainable had they not gone for it after the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, again, on the micro stuff, yeah, no, we 100% agree.
But that leads to, if you can't pull off a big move that changes the outlook in the landscape of your franchise this offseason, then what are we doing here? I mean, we're just spinning our tires in mud.
I 100% agree.